Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
My friends, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. Today, I'm going to be joined by my lovely wife, Donna, and we are going to address the things taking place in the American election. We have just a few more weeks left until the election, and it's a circus, isn't it, Donna?
It is. Send in the clowns. Oh, wait, somebody did.
There's clowns in... Was that going on in
Florida? No, Idaho, too. They've had them all over the country.
People putting a clown mask on?
Yeah, it's full head-to-toe clown. Got the shoes to the pantaloon outfit to the makeup and the hair.
What are they doing?
Just standing there.
Like the Slender Man legend?
I've read that it may be related to a Stephen King novel, It, but I don't know much about that novel. But it's just, you know, it's Halloween and an election year, so kind of creepy.
How interesting. The election's happening right after the day of death.
Yeah.
And is America going to die 10 days after Halloween this year, ladies and gentlemen? Those are some of the things that Donna and I have been grieving and lamenting over. We have been navigating through the turmoil. And Donna, I don't know any other way to put it other than it's burdensome, it's cumbersome, it is...
It's very heavy.
It is crazy. It is dark. It's chaotic. If you have been with us in this ministry for the past few years, we have discussed different elements of the judgment, and we've watched it take place. Donna, since the crash of 08, we've been watching it.
It's gotten very dark since 08.
It has, and that was one of the things that I saw years ago, and I shared it with the audience, the black tornadoes, where these clouds gathered and these drips like molasses started coming out of the clouds. They dripped out very slowly, and when they hit the ground... The ground exploded into a tornado, and tornadoes by the hundreds were ravaging the land. And I shared back then the darkness was coming, and I wasn't the only one. Many of God's people were warned that darkness was coming. And then when we look into the Bible, we can see the same thing.
Yes.
At the midnight cry, 10 virgins, it's going to be dark, and that's why we have to have lamps, because in the end times, it's going to be dark. So we're experiencing the darkness right now, and... You know, we have never walked during an election of this type. Every one of us are in uncharted territory. If you're a Christian, you're watching this take place. But one thing that I want to bring to the table, and that's going to be one of the purposes of this program. Today's American Christians are trying to navigate this thing through the sum total of the influences that are out there. I'm pretty sure that they all mean well. They're Christian, they're evangelical. Right-wing, conservative, Republican, they mean well. So on this program, I want to bring some clarity from our point of view. And ladies and gentlemen, take it to prayer. My purpose as a minister of God is to try my best to hear from the Lord and to repeat to you what the Spirit is saying. Now, I understand that there are a lot of people out there making claims that the Holy Spirit showed them and they are using the Holy Spirit to prophesy. So how is an end-time believer supposed to navigate this election? If Hillary wins, we're done. Some people are saying that the only hope is Donald Trump. Some people are saying that the judgment will be temporarily halted. Others are saying that the New World Order will be held back. There's a lot of opinions. But ladies and gentlemen, are they all true? So what are God's remnant supposed to do? Donna, when God called us to do this ministry, the purpose was to get up on the wall and to warn America, our country, that judgment was here, and to prepare people to navigate through the judgment. That's why we were called by God to do this ministry. There's no other reason. God also made it clear that we are in the end times, and He wants His people fed. He wants people to also be challenged to repent, to get their house in order. So there's a spiritual element to Watchman's Cry.
Yes.
That's it. And if you've been listening long enough, you have heard me repeat this theme. Judgment is here. We have to get ready. We must be ready.
And I don't think that America is at this moment being weighed in the balance. I think America has been weighed. It's been done.
Past tense.
Past tense.
The eternal divine mandate has been issued, and he began showing those who know his voice, the young and the old, women, children, old men, young men. He has shown his people glimpses, as the Bible promised in Joel, in the last days. He has done that, ladies and gentlemen. He has shown many of you what time it is. There are many of you who listen to this program because you want to hear someone that was like-minded and to also know that you weren't alone and that you are not crazy. Whatever age you are, there is a good chance that many of you have been awakened over the past few years. And you weren't awakened with a burp. You were awakened with a thud. Some of you had incredible awakenings by the Holy Ghost. He found you. Maybe you were backslidden and you were wandering, but he found you. He lured you back with his conviction, and you came back because you know that it was God's voice that you heard, and you repented, and now you want to get ready, and he has gone on to show you things that are coming. He has shown you the days of darkness are here. The days that the prophets have looked forward to are here. The days that were spoken in the scriptures are here. So you want to be ready. And in the midst of that, we have this election. And in the midst of this election, we have confusion. On the Democratic side, we have Hillary. Donna, do we have to spend hours and hours summarizing Hillary's crimes?
No.
Do I have to do one show about, hey, the WikiLeaks discovered that Hillary's bad, that she lied, that she has stolen, that her Clinton Foundation is self-serving, that she has received donations from governments and people, and she has these super PACs. She's corrupt.
She's pro-abortion. I don't think anyone would be shocked if we brought up any of these things because it's all known. We all know who Hillary is.
We've known for decades.
Yes.
We've watched the corruption. We have witnessed it.
Her vileness is not in question. She is vile.
If Hillary wins the election, the preparation and the lamenting that we have done over this country is not going to lessen. It just means that we're getting closer and we're going to start seeing even more of the judgment.
We'll just keep moving forward in our preparation spiritually and physically.
And the darkness will continue to come. And the armada that is out in the ocean waiting to come on shore to unload the invaders will still be out there and headed this way. The war, China and Russia are going to fight America. We're going to have a war. But that is what judgment is. Judgment takes us to war. I have been warning about the fourfold judgment.
Yes.
Is the theme of right now.
Yes.
And the fourfold judgment, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a new listener, consists of four things. And we can find the fourfold judgment in the Bible. It consists of the famine, where food distribution, people finding food, where food is scarce or food is expensive. If we were to tally how many Americans benefit from food stamps, it's probably a third of the country. So we are seeing that portion happen.
Because if we didn't have food stamps, we'd have food lines.
We would, the bread lines. And even now, some of the food stamps aren't able to feed families entirely because food has gone up in price. Mm-hmm. But the allotment, the monthly allotment, is not able to fill the baskets like just several years ago. So food banks are now trying to help.
They supplement the food stamps.
So we have the famine judgment, and then we have the pestilence. The pestilence is ongoing. We have not seen it arrive entirely, but it's ongoing in different categories. And then we have the beast judgment. And by the way, folks, I have articles about this on the website, watchmanscry.com. You can go there. There are programs where I have talked about it and laid it all out. The beast judgment is the third category in the Old Testament. God allowed animals, wild animals, would attack and be used by God to attack as a punishment. In the New Testament, and we can go all the way to the book of Revelation, the beast rises from the sea. There is a beast spirit. It's demonic. A beast judgment means that evil is allowed to invade the land and infect people.
And torment people.
Torment people.
These weird cases of people doing drugs and then trying to eat people's faces, that would be a demonic infestation.
Like a zombie apocalypse, but it's demons. Yeah. So the zombie apocalypse is real, but it's people who are demon possessed.
Yeah.
And we're going to see even more of that. And ladies and gentlemen, that's happening even now, included in the beast judgment. Let's also talk about the weather that usually comes with the beast judgment. You have the dark, stormy weather. It's nighttime. It's no longer light. You know, we could do a lot of programs breaking down all the particulars of what it looks like, but how many categories are affected when the beast judgment and evil and darkness comes? In addition to darkness and people being infected, there is a dark fog that comes over. When that fog arrives, God allows a fog of darkness. It's a mist of dark confusion to come upon the land during judgment. We can find it in the scriptures over and over.
And depression.
Yes, when that foggy mist comes over the land on it, a lot of people feel oppressed.
Yes.
And they find themselves fighting depression. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let me address that for a moment. Have you noticed over the past few months or years, you know, when we hit 2012, a shift happened. It got darker in America. You remember that?
Yeah.
Looking back?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that in the past. But here we are 4 years later. And if you have noticed, my friends, that you are battling oppression or depression or the blues or...
You feel a spirit. It's a spirit of heaviness. If you're a Christian, you would call it a spirit of heaviness.
A lot of people that are going through it don't know that it's a spirit. So what are some of the things they feel? Women in particular probably pick up on it in a way different than men. Women may feel depressed. Men will get moody.
Yeah. You might not see much light in your circumstance. And, you know, it's not even that your circumstance is that bad. It's just that you have this heavy oppression that's sitting on you that is from the enemy and wants you to think everything in your personal circumstance is awful.
Is this personal or from emails, Donna?
A combination.
We've received emails from a lot of people. Folks, if you're out there and you're feeling this, you're not alone. There is an attack of darkness. And Donna, one of the things that the darkness does is it tries to rob God's people of their faith, of their hope, of their confidence. It robs them, for lack of a better word, of feeling like they're going to be able to do it, to endure, to make mm-hmm. it. It robs them of their confidence with endurance.
Right.
In the world, they would say it robs them of their positive energy, you know,
right.
positive thinking. And that's the world. That's New Age. But for a Christian, Satan will try to rob you of your faith. Satan will try to rob you of your confidence in God. He'll try to rob you of the assurance and the peace of God that you have. And I just need to include this. As a country goes through a judgment, the people will have to step it up. And that's why it's important to understand what time it is, because then we'll know part of the judgment includes, and here's where it can get a little bit eerie and creepy, it includes that God allows spirits, demonic spirits, to infect. As an example, in Jeremiah 50 and 51, if you are an awake person, if you're a remnant believer, the majority of you believe, as I do, that America is end time Babylon, mystery Babylon. And mystery Babylon has several layers to it. We can find mystery Babylon in the book of Revelation. And there's a description of end time Babylon in Jeremiah 50 and 51. And in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 39, well, let me go to verse 38. A drought is against her waters, and they will be dried up, for it is a land of carved images. They are insane with their idols. And we're going to talk about the idols, idol worship that's taking place right now in this election. But verse 39 goes on to say, now watch this, folks. Therefore, the wild desert beasts shall dwell there with the jackals. So we're told the desert beast and the jackal, demons, are going to be in Babylon. If America is Babylon, that means that these jackal creepies are here.
They are going to inhabit our land.
We can go forward to Revelation 17 and 18, and it says Babylon has become the prison, the cage of every foul spirit and hateful bird. So those things are headed this way, and a lot of them have already arrived. And if we can include this in the understanding, then we can see a bigger picture of why things are so crazy right now in this election. The insanity that we are watching take place in the American election right now includes the infection, Donna, of demons, demonic activity, confusion, delusion, spirits of delusion. We can go into the New Testament. God says, because they had no love for the truth, I will send to them
a strong delusion.
A delusion, so that they
shall believe a lie.
Is that happening? Are people believing lies right now?
I hate to say it, but yes, they are.
If the Bible says that, then we have to ask. We have to place on the table, are lies being spoken right now? In the atmosphere of the media, in the atmosphere of the church, within the voices that are being spoken, within the words that are being typed on Twitter, within the words that are being shared on Facebook, are some of them lies? According to the scriptures, so that they will believe a lie. Folks, that's part of the equation. Some of the stuff out there is lies. So in order for God's people to navigate what's going on right now, we have to include the scriptures. We have to include Bible prophecy and what we are told the weather is going to be like. So if America is Babylon and there is a shifting taking place and Babylon is deteriorating further and further into darkness, then we have to include the scriptures and we have to try to dig into the Bible and find out the scriptures and the descriptions so that we're not caught off guard, so that as we watch this chaos, the insanity that's taking place right now on the news, with this election and on Facebook and on the internet, we will not stumble and find ourselves caught up in the insanity.
Like it says in Jeremiah 51:17, everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge.
Jeremiah
51:17.
Everyone
is dull-hearted without knowledge.
If a man is dull-hearted, how can he lead? How can he have a word from the Lord? That's not good.
No, but it also says in Jeremiah 51:57, and I will make drunk her princes and wise men, her governors and her deputies and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, says the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts.
Okay, so God says in verse 57, thank you, Donna, I will make drunk her princes and wise men. The delusion.
He sends it.
Is it because he's mean?
No, it's because he wants to see if we've been paying attention, if we have learned to trust in him and to obey his word.
While we're talking about this, we're going to move forward and talk about the election, but I just want to establish for the listeners that this is a spiritual thing going on. And we have to understand from the scriptures what's going on. So if the Bible tells us that we're going to be in a season of darkness, there's going to be a delusion, the slumber, as you just read, what does it look like? What are the mechanics of this slumber or delusion? The problem that we are watching right now is much bigger than arguing over whether a candidate is the right one.
The one that's going to change everything and save the day.
Right. It's much bigger than trying to fight over whether Donald Trump is Cyrus or Nebuchadnezzar or all these
Moses,
prophecy.
David, Samson, Elijah, among others.
Exactly. It's much bigger than that. Donald Trump can't be all these people. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're taking notes, write this reference down. If we could see behind the scenes, if there was a way to have a lens or some goggles to put on where we could actually see the spirits fighting for America or attacking America and the angels of God, the host of the Lord, the principalities, all those things that Paul tells us about, if we really saw them in the actuality of how they're involved, it would freak out so many people. People would freak.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible tells us that these things go on. Now, ladies and gentlemen, most of you, if you're a regular listener, understand that we can see the association. When we weigh the judgment of Jerusalem in the Old Testament, we can see the
similarities between their Jerusalem and our America's.
Because they were God's people. And we can see how it started as a warning for Jerusalem. Jeremiah showed up, and for 40 years he warned them, and he had to.
They wanted him to shut up, basically. They didn't like what he said, and they wanted him to shut up.
Right. And he went through how many administrations? A bunch of kings came and went. 40 years went by.
So then they mocked him and scoffed at him, saying, where's the judgment you said?
And then finally, Babylon showed up, and they were outside the walls, and they were under siege for a year and a half. Did they finally go to Jeremiah and say, Jeremiah, I should have listened to you?
Oh, no. Then they dropped him down into a cistern, hoping to kill him.
No matter what he did, they didn't want to hear the truth.
No.
And then after Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem, killed most of them, took a lot of them off to captivity, and a few of them went into the wilderness. After Nebuchadnezzar left, he placed a puppet governor, and the people came out of the woods, and those people then fought against Jeremiah even after Nebuchadnezzar left and set up his puppet government, mm-hmm. and they were occupied. Then you have these patriotic people show up, and we can find this in Jeremiah chapter 40 and 41 and 42, where...
And they wanted to wage war against the government that God had set up to punish them.
The judging occupier, governor, right. Mm-hmm. So they said, Jeremiah, what do we do? And Jeremiah said, we're going to be occupied, and if you will obey the occupiers, it'll go well with you. Because we deserve the judgment. It's here. It can't be stopped. And they said, no, we want to go to Pharaoh.
The judgment. We're going to escape it. And, you know, when I see it from a mother's perspective, I see it as the children have been sent to the room to wait for dad to come in and spank them. And they need to submit to it. But instead, they pack a peanut butter jelly sandwich and head down to the neighbors.
They run away.
Yeah, they run away.
They go out the window. No, you're not going to spank me. I'm leaving.
Yes, it's rebellious in their heart.
That's a good example. Waiting until your father gets home. So we had in the days of Jeremiah, God prophetically told Jeremiah, my people are going to be judged. Tell them. And they said, nope, we will hire Pharaoh and he will save us. And God said, Jeremiah, let them know. If they think that they're going to go to Egypt, the plague will follow them. The sword will follow them. The pestilence will follow them. All of my judgments will follow them and they will die trying to escape my judgment in Egypt. God made that clear. So when the judgment occurs, we don't get to say, God, raising our hand in the back of the room, God, excuse me, I'm going to just sit this one out. I don't think so. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take an offering, and we're going to hire a spokesperson who will fix our problematic areas of government.
Our systems that are broken.
The systems that are broken. We're going to hire someone to fix them, and while he's at it, we're going to make sure that he's so tough that he will growl, a tough growl, that when the devil hears his growl, the devil will get scared and be afraid of him. That is the type of rhetoric we're hearing from programs out there. But that's a cartoon version of trying to get out of the judgment of God. This land is so gone. The gay agenda, 70 million aborted babies. By the way, I'm going to be writing an article, and this is going to come out pretty soon. We have known that America's evangelical church has been struggling with truth.
Mm-hmm.
We know this.
Yes.
Because people are aware of the prosperity gospel, those money changers out there, Joel Osteen, the Saddleback, Rick Warren, all that mess.
The Gracie Grace.
That's why a lot of our listeners don't even attend church anymore. They're in the wilderness.
The list just goes on and on.
Because the church is a mess. And today, right now during this election, those same people who have brought confusion, who have downplayed the judgment, who have ignored the judgment, who don't even know what time it is, who have actually mocked the judgment, a lot of them, are now leading America's evangelicals with this notion that greatness, if we hire this guy,
this one guy,
is going to come to America, but they're leaving out of the equation what time it is.
It goes back to the foolish virgins.
Five had oil and five didn't.
And five had oil because they knew darkness was going to be here on the earth when our groom returned. They knew it. They had no doubt. The other five, for some reason, did not have oil. They didn't think they needed oil. They didn't think darkness would come. Why? Why did they not think darkness would come?
Someone told them. They were convinced by the false prophets, the false preachers. And we can find this in Jeremiah. When we look in Jeremiah, in the beginning chapters of Jeremiah, that's how it opens up. Jeremiah chapter 5, look at this. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek in her open places. If you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth. God said, Jeremiah, go to Jerusalem and find if there's one guy that executes judgment. In other words, that understands his righteousness, his judgment, his statutes, his principles, that holds high the banner of God. And see if there's any man out there that believes it and actually lives through it. Is there anyone? And I will pardon Jerusalem if you can find one. But guess what?
There was not one to be found.
There was none to be found. Jeremiah 5:2. Though they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock and have refused to return to you. Therefore, the Lord says, they are poor and foolish, and they don't know the way of the Lord or Donna, verse 4, the judgment of their God. So here we have in America the same thing. We have some things taking place in America that happened with Donald Trump, Donna, in his past. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But there's a lot of opinions about it. And I am so disappointed. I'm so disappointed. If I could actually be able to speak candidly, more colloquial, I'm disgusted with the leadership of the evangelicals right now in the response, in the misdirection, in the making of excuses, in the downplaying of women being molested. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Donna, I don't think women who have been molested appreciate how this is being downplayed.
No, minimized. We don't. We don't at all.
So we're going to talk about that. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're taking notes, write this down. Donna, there are several verses that are included in the weather. When Jeremiah was warning the people and pleading, he was the weeping prophet. He pled with them. He lamented. He cried. He wept. He said that over and over. My eyes do not stop flowing. I am so saddened. Lord, this is terrible. They don't listen, because he knew how bad it was going to get. But while Jeremiah was pleading with them, he also shared glimpses of what was taking place in the world of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And in Jeremiah
8:17,
he says something that's interesting.
He does. He says, "For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord."
Okay. This is God talking. I will send serpents to you, and they'll bite you.
God is going to send the serpents and the cockatrices to bite you.
So rattlesnakes are going to be loosened from pet stores and wiggle through the storm drains and come up in toilets and bite people?
I'm going to go with the spiritual side of this and say that it's probably demonic bites.
It is demonic bites. Ladies and gentlemen, it says in Jeremiah 8, God is going to send demonic creepy crawlers. He's going to allow them as part of the judgment, vipers which cannot be charmed. Now, it says cockatrices. That word cockatrice is an interesting word. In the original, it means viper, serpent, but the translators translated it to a creature that was a mythological creature that was known in mythology. And this thing is
part chicken and
snake, serpent, demon. It's a demonic creature. When you see the word cockatrice, it's a demon. And God is saying, I am going to send them. Now, not only will he send them, this is the other thing that's going on. And we're going to talk about this in the future, Donna, but this is where it gets a little bit spooky. Now, folks, if you want to know why some people are adamant and they will not be budged, you try to talk to them and explain to them that the equation is much bigger than just Hillary versus Donald. We have a spiritual thing going on here. Judgment is also a part of the equation. And then we have to throw in, is Donald the remedy or part of the judgment? Is he going to be the hammer for the judgment, or is he going to be the savior from the judgment? See, we are hearing that kind of rhetoric from people out there who claim to be gods.
Evangelicals.
Preachers.
People that call themselves evangelicals.
Quote unquote prophets are prophesying things about Donald Trump that he's going to save us from the mess. But, you know, some of those Donald Trump prophecies where they say he's Cyrus, he's God's man, he's the wrecking ball, he has the Elijah mantle, all these things, I am not hearing them also talk about the spiritual realm of judgment that's taking place. How is Donald going to stop the cockatrice, Donna? How's Donald Trump going to stop the viper that God's sending right now?
But they don't believe there is one being sent. There is a very base problem, is that they are part of the new apostolic reformation or dominionists. That is heresy. They have taken the gospel and the revelations and turned it into something that it never was, and put themselves in the place of God preparing the way for Jesus to return.
Now, to bring some clarity to what you're saying, we're talking about a movement, a theology that has invaded the charismatic and some of the prosperity gospel churches who concentrated on the prosperity gospel several decades ago have now brought in this dominionist kingdom now belief. What is that? Going back a few years, for those who may not remember, in 2008, in the summer of 2008, in that spring, Todd Bentley came from Canada, went to Lakeland, Florida, had a three-month revival, and slimed a lot of American Christians with demonic infestation.
And cockatrices.
Cockatrices, impartations, the Kundalini thing went out. And folks, you remember that? Todd Bentley believes he's part of that dominionist NAR, New Apostolic Reformation theology, which states that before Jesus can come back, seven mountains, that they believe in the seven mountain prophecy, and they took a prophecy which talked about the seven mountains of earth, that had nothing to do with this, but they took...
Because in the Bible, seven mountains are the seven continents.
Right.
But they turned it into this false systems.
They said seven systems. So mm-hmm. there are seven systems that the church must conquer mm-hmm. and take over and be in control of before Jesus can come back. So God's hands...
are tied until we can untie them. He can't do anything unless we untie his hands.
Right. So the church must do their part with crusades to take over in the seven mountains. Our systems, they call them systems, are education, mm-hmm. Hollywood, the media, so the news media, politics,
yes.
finance, and there's the arts or one or two other ones, mm-hmm. but politics. So they believe that their spokesperson, representative, has to be the president.
Yes.
The kingdom now believes that their spokesman has to be
and
to represent.
The basis of everything they teach is that it will be light and beautiful when Jesus returns, because we will have paved the way with lightness, which brings me back to the 10 virgins. Light. Some didn't have oil because they thought it was going to be light, and some did because they knew it was going to be dark.
So are you saying you don't believe this kingdom now thing, Donna?
I believe it's heresy.
It is heresy. It's a lie, because it also goes on to... Well, let's look at the absurdity. They say the system of Hollywood. So Hollywood is one of the mountains. So in the Bible, when the prophets wrote the Bible, one of the mountains was Hollywood movies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're supposed to take over entertainment in the world so that everybody watches, what, TBN?
I don't know how that's supposed to happen, but they believe that all of Hollywood people are going to, all mm-hmm. the producers,
yeah,
directors,
they're all going to get saved and come to Jesus and only make movies that are approved by the apostle that is over that
that's absurd.
System.
Okay. But I don't want to digress too much on that, but that is what they believe, ladies and gentlemen.
That's how we got here.
That's how we got here. So the prophecies about Donald Trump bypass what time it is. They bypass the fourfold judgment. They bypass the darkness of the end times. And they say America is going to be made great. But I just read to you a verse here. Jeremiah is warning Jerusalem about the cockatrice. God will allow it to come. Now, if we go to another passage of Scripture, Isaiah 59, and go ahead and go there.
All right.
And I'm going to read another verse. Isaiah 59, 5. 4 and 5. Well, let me start with verse 4. Ladies and gentlemen, are you taking notes? None calleth for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity or sin. Verse 5. They hatch cockatrice eggs or viper eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eats of their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. That's talking about the mood of people who do not want truth. It says in verse 4, they speak lies.
And conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity.
They don't want the truth. No. So when we have humans that do not want the truth, it breeds the atmosphere. It breeds
which
a
hatches.
Perfect, Donna, a perfect yes. ground, mm-hmm. breeding ground for viper eggs to hatch.
For the demonic infestations to come upon us. Our denial of the truth brings demonic infestations.
Now, folks, think about this. Or if some of you are struggling with what you're hearing right here, say this to yourself. What if the things you've been told about Donald Trump in prophecies, if you heard some of those Donald Trump prophecies like Mark Taylor?
Yeah.
If you heard those prophecies, let me ask you this. What if they're not true? Have you asked that to yourself? Mark Taylor hit the ground running, and that thing went everywhere. It went viral. People liked it because it's easier to believe that America is going to be rescued than what the truth is. But it says in Isaiah 59, if it's not the truth, then it's a breeding ground for vipers. Well, Nathan, how do you know it's not true? How do you know? Let me share this with you right here. Listen to this, folks.
Mark, are you absolutely certain Donald J. Trump will be elected in November?
I have to go by what God has told me and shown me. And
are you certain the Lord spoke to you that Donald Trump is going to be elected?
Absolutely, yes.
And you believe that this is the beginning of a spiritual turnaround in the condition of the United States of America?
Absolutely. America's best days are ahead of her. Just because we have tornadoes or hurricanes, America's not under judgment. America's not under judgment. America's not under judgment. What's happening is that you've got the prophets of doom and gloom. Now, there's a difference in prophesying a warning, because that's what we're called to do. We're called to be the watchman on the wall. There's a difference in prophesying a warning and hearing the plans of the enemy and prophesying it as if it were the plans of God. Now you're empowering that entity. It's amazing. You look in the comments, even on the True News from my last interview, some of these people are commenting that America is going to burn. America needs to burn. And it's like, why would you talk that treasonous talk? Why would you speak that curse over your nation? And that's what God is addressing here. Stop doing that. You know, we need to, and again, this system is suppressing people where they can't get above the second heaven and get into the pure prophetic stream. I'm not saying everybody, but some of them. And they're picking up on the second heaven's plans, and they're thinking it's the plans of God, and they're turning around and prophesying it as if it were God's plans, and it's not. But when you're doing that, you're still empowering that entity. And when you're speaking these curses over America, you're committing spiritual treason, because God is saying, I have chosen America. I have not, you know, America's been chosen, not called.
Wow.
Donna?
Just, wow, Nathan.
Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? Did you, Donna?
I heard it. I can't believe I heard it, but I heard it.
Okay, so according to what Mark Taylor just said right there, and on Rick Wiles' program, ladies and gentlemen, he's talking about you.
Yes, he is.
He's talking about our listeners, Donna.
Every one of you that have had a vision or a dream or a word from the Lord saying that judgment is coming, he's putting you down.
Well, he's not only putting them down, he's saying that they heard from Satan, not the Holy Spirit.
You don't even know the difference between
ladies
Jesus
and
Satan.
What do you think of that? You heard from Satan when you were praying, when you were on your knees. If God showed you when you were weeping in the holy presence, secret place of God,
when
you were on your knees, Donna. They were, some of these people heard from God in a holy moment.
And they were sighing and they were crying over the horrible things of this land that are breaking their hearts. And they could not hear Jesus. They only heard Satan's plans.
According to Mark Taylor, we're not hearing from God.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? Just to be clear, listen to this again.
And again, this system is suppressing people where they can't get above the second heaven and get into the pure prophetic stream. I'm not saying everybody, but some of them. And they're picking up on the second heaven's plans. And they're thinking it's the plans of God, and they're turning around and prophesying it as if it were God's plans, and it's not.
To take a warning from God, a word from the Lord, a word from the Holy Spirit, and attribute it to Satan is mocking the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit,
it is blaspheming the
gifts.
Yes,
it is. It's completely blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It is denying the works of Jesus and applying them to Satan. What about Dimitri Duneman, David Wilkerson? Mark Taylor is saying that these men are all liars, or they don't even know the difference between the voice of God and the voice of Satan.
Now, Donna, that's a good point. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if some of you have been struggling with the Donald Trump prophecy of Mark Taylor, and you've been wondering, is it true, or I want it to be true, Mark Taylor gave that prophecy, but you just heard him say that America is not under judgment. So what does that tell you? It tells me that the original Donald Trump prophecy, it's not from God. That was not from the Spirit of God.
I believe in these God-fearing men, David Wilkerson, Henry Gruber, Dimitri Duneman. I believe that what they saw was true. They were God-fearing men who loved the Lord. They would absolutely know the difference between Satan's voice and God's voice.
Folks, I don't have a problem with Christians voting for Donald Trump, Donna. If they want to vote for him.
No, I don't either.
They can vote for him.
Right. If you believe his promises, you want him to do those things, then vote for him. By all means, vote for the man.
Or let me even say it this way, Donna. You know, I put out an article a few months ago. It's like a job interview. When you vote for a president, you're the employer hiring him, and you're giving him a chance. He's on probation.
He's got a term, 4 years, to see if he does well.
He has 4 years, but you're not married to him, ladies and gentlemen. When an employee gets hired, the employer has enough sense and honesty for his business, for his family-owned business or company, to know that if the employee fails, it doesn't mean that the company failed. It doesn't mean that the person that hired him failed. It means the employee failed.
Yes, exactly.
It means that the employee wasn't up to it. They weren't cut out for it. It wasn't a good match. Whatever the reason, the job wasn't for them.
Right.
But the HR person that hires them cannot lie to themselves and say, nope, they're the best employee I've ever had, when they have their hand in the till.
Right.
If they're lying to the customers, stealing from the company, they're corrupt and they look bad.
And they can't defend him no matter at what cost, because they think it's a reflection of themselves.
It's not personal.
No.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the other thing. I noticed some people are placing Donald Trump into this level of he's the hope, he's the man, he is almost deified infallible.
Well, and not critically thinking about things that are exposed or things that come out. If you still want to vote for Trump, vote for Trump. I have no problem with anyone voting for Trump based on that they believe that he's going to appoint godly Supreme Court justices. I don't believe him, but if you believe him, you should vote on that.
Now, let's make it clear, Donna. Let's make it for the record. What does Nathan believe? What does Donna believe? What do we believe? What is our position as far as Donald Trump? Here's what it is. Donald Trump is a man. He is a candidate. He is a person who put his name in the hat. He's competing against a corrupt woman, a feminist, who wants to destroy America. We know Hillary will destroy America. Donald Trump is a man. In the natural, he's a guy who wants a shot at stopping it. The thing that you have a problem with and I have a problem is placing Donald Trump in this prophetic, infallible, deified Moses. Mm-hmm. Folks, that is what we are struggling with. Donald Trump is a man. I don't believe that he has been called out to save America because I know what time it is.
He is just running on the conservative platform. Whether he believes the conservative platform or not, I cannot answer, but that's what he's running on, just like George Bush did. And still, if you feel like you should vote for Trump, vote for Trump. But can we now talk about the 11-year-old tape that came out?
It is out there.
It is.
As you all know, ladies and gentlemen, the old tape from 2005 from Access Hollywood, he was going to be on a soap opera, and the open mic, the hot mic, caught him saying some things with Billy Bush. By now, the world has heard it. Most of you have heard it. Donald Trump admitted to Billy Bush, who is, by the way, related to the Bushes.
He's one of... He's a nephew of Jeb and a nephew of George.
He was a host on Access Hollywood at the time, and Donald Trump admitted that he didn't say it was a one-time thing. He said he will go up to women and touch them in their privates, in their genitals. He said he grabs them by the genitals and...
And they don't stop him.
They don't stop him because he's a star. And he says when you're a star, you can do pretty much anything you want. And he also said that he, like a magnet, wants to kiss them. Mm-hmm. So he'll start kissing them and they never stop him.
You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss them. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. You can do anything. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the... I can do anything.
This thing went viral. It went everywhere. And I know that a lot of people, especially if you're not a Christian, a lot of people can say, you know, what's the big deal? That was 11 years ago. It's not that bad. He didn't kill anybody. Before I talk about what I noticed going on, Donna, I know that it could be downplayed.
Yes.
But the problem with that video is it illustrates not only that he felt that he could flirt with women, but mm-hmm. he didn't confess to flirting. He confessed to actually...
assaulting them. He didn't say that they couldn't help but kiss him. He said he takes advantage of his stardom in order to touch women in ways that they may not want, but they're not going to say anything because of his status.
So after it came out, he, within a few hours, tweeted his apology. And Donna, I want you to read what he said. And for the listeners that are wondering, Nathan, why are you rehashing it? Why are you bringing it up? I want it to be on record what our position is. Mm-hmm. I want our listening audience to know what Nathan feels and what you feel about how this whole thing has evolved and how it has been presented, because I want it on record, not only for our listeners, Donna, but for God in heaven, mm-hmm. because we're watching the church fail. We are watching the evangelical leadership of America fail, especially the men out there. They are failing horribly in the way that they are addressing this thing.
You can overlook this and still vote for Donald Trump if you so choose, but you cannot overlook this and... There's no way to overlook this without disrespecting your sisters who have been assaulted by men. Your sisters in Christ who have been assaulted by men in their lives, and you are overlooking this. You are smacking them in the face. You are saying your pain doesn't matter.
Right. This is very volatile territory. If I can mm-hmm. just lay it all out there in truth, this issue is sensitive because there's a lot of victims of this crime. So I want our listening audience to understand that we are not going to treat it lightly.
No.
Because it's not only sensitive, but a lot of people have been hurt. A lot of people have been impacted for their whole entire life because they went through a violation of this type in their life. And I am not going to downplay it, Donna. I'm not going to misdirect it. I want to lay it on the table, and I want to also explain and say to the listening audience, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear from my lips and from Donna's lips that to downplay this criminal behavior is for the world. They will answer to God on their own eventually. They will stand before God because that's not the only sin that they have. But for a Christian to treat this sort of assault and crime and sin as a minimal thing does a disservice to the Word of God, to the justice of God, the righteousness that we're supposed to seek to walk under and along. We can't downplay this thing.
No, it damages all of Christendom. We are damaged when we downplay sin. He is the conservative candidate. She is the bad candidate. Okay, you're going to vote for him, but don't defend his vile behavior and his vile words. That is damaging to the cause of Christ.
We're going to go into this. Let's discuss what happened. And I want to make sure that everyone understands. I have a condemnation to those leaders out there that have downplayed what Trump did. Now, when that video came out, within hours, he tweeted. Donna, go ahead and read this. What did he say?
This was his immediate response, so this is clearly the response from his heart. This was locker room banter, a private conversation that took place many years ago. Bill Clinton has said far worse to me on the golf course. Not even close. I apologize if anyone was offended.
Now, I have been reading on forums, on Facebook, there's pastors out there. Rodney Howard Brown said that what Trump did isn't even close to what Hillary has done. So he's doing the misdirection.
We justify one sin by another person's sin.
I told the congregation on Sunday morning, I said, it's not what Trump said 11 years ago, as bad as what it is, that's the problem. It's what Hillary Clinton and the Clinton cartel have been doing for the last 11 years. That's the problem.
Okay, Donna, we just heard misdirection from a quote-unquote leader, evangelical leader, a representative of the gospel. Mm-hmm. We just heard him downplay what Trump did and then change the direction to Hillary.
And point at somebody else's sin.
Ladies and gentlemen, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, when you raised your kids and they did wrong and you were going to discipline them, if they would have looked at you and said, but my friend's doing it.
My friend's doing more than what I did.
My friend's worse than me. If you caught them or you knew that they did something that was wrong, so you had to punish them or ground them or take away their privileges or whatever it was, you knew that justice had to be served. You needed to let them know that it was wrong and punish them. If they would have told you that what they did was not that bad because their friend does even worse, what response would the listeners have done, Donna, as parents? If our kids did that to us, would that work?
No. I would say I don't care at all what your friend did. I may be calling their mother after this, but I don't care. You're still getting a full punishment from me. Wrong is wrong and right is right, no matter what your friends are doing.
Okay, how about this? On the day of judgments, white throne judgment, standing before God, and he's looking down. The angel has the book of life opened up, and God is addressing the person. And if they would have said, God, I never killed anybody, like that other guy that's next in line, I happen to know God, he killed someone, I haven't, so I'm not as bad. Would that fly in the day of judgment, though?
No, it won't fly at all.
Or how about during the judgment seat of Christ where Christians are going to stand before God? Jesus, well, okay, so the talent that you gave me, I buried it and I didn't use it.
But he buried 3 talents, so, you know, I'm not as bad as him.
Is that going to work?
No.
For the leaders that are out there who already have their words in print, the ones that are saying, well, David, no worse than David, David sinned. When David sinned and Nathan appeared to him several months later, showed up and said, you are the man, did David say, well,
but this other king did
Saul
worse
did
than
it
I.
Too.
Yeah, he was worse.
Saul?
Really worse.
Nathan, don't you know Saul did it? And before him, when Samson was a pretty, you know.
Yeah, he was out there doing
philanderer, you know.
Locker room stuff.
And it was just, it wasn't that bad. And if you're offended, if God's bothered, I apologize.
If.
Now, let's look at those words again. Number one, he explained it away. That was locker room banter, a private conversation that took place.
So it's private.
And it happened a long time ago. By the way, Bill Clinton did far worse.
The stuff he said to me on the golf course when we were best friends hanging out playing golf, you wouldn't believe the stuff he said.
It was worse than me. By the way, I apologize if anyone was offended. The mouth speaks from the abundance of the heart. If you've had children, they're caught. Their hands in the cookie jar, the pie's on their face. You're looking at them. You know if they're remorseful.
Yes.
Because they're looking down and they're saying, yeah, I'm in trouble. I'm sorry. And that's all you can say. When you're busted, all you can say is, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did it. I'm sorry. I'm ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing else to say.
There's nothing else to say.
And if you need God to forgive you, then you go to God and you have the same attitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
The poor in spirit, ladies and gentlemen. You can't get saved without being poor in spirit. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up. Humbleness, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
Not defiance. Not sidestepping. Not misdirecting. Not pointing the fingers to someone else. Not justifying. Not saying it was a long time ago. That doesn't work. So the thing that I'm so frustrated, disappointed at these quote-unquote representatives of God, these preachers, who are downplaying, if this was a method of repentance and this is what he had to present, and then to say that that was good, then I have to wonder, what sort of altar calls are they having?
What sort of altar calls are they having in their own rooms, in their own prayer closets?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, please think of that. If you heard any preacher justify this attempt at repentance and try to say that that is sufficient, and then compare that to King David, who, by the way, after David...
It had been a while since he sinned. It had been quite a while.
The baby had already been born,
yes.
And the baby got sick and died. So it had been between 9 months and a year, at least.
Yes.
Later. So he had been out of fellowship for 9 months to a year. He's confronted. He repents, and then what does he give us, Donna? He gives us one of the most beautiful...
Psalm 51.
Psalms 51, the most beautiful psalm. Creating me a clean heart, oh God. Keith Green put beautiful, anointed, powerful music to that psalm that has blessed millions of people, bringing them back to the cross.
Because it's true contriteness, true repentance, true humbleness and meekness before the Lord.
Creating me a clean heart, oh God. That is true repentance. And for these preachers that are trying to associate this tweet with Psalms 51, to have the audacity to try to equate it.
Well, and I've also seen on Facebook, Christians have lowered themselves into the dirt by bringing up pictures of Miley Cyrus half naked, writing blown up men's body parts, and have nude pictures of Anderson Cooper. And they're saying, well, see how bad they are. Donald Trump's not that bad. Look at them. This stuff is out there on Facebook being put out by Christians, and we represent Jesus. There is never a time where it is okay to put pornographic pictures up to show that somebody is worse than you. That's not all right for us to do that. That is unacceptable.
I've been wrestling with this thing because there are so many categorical issues that need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have the leadership downplaying what Trump did or trying to repackage it. By the way, when the leaders do it, then the people are going to follow.
Yes, they are.
And if the people then read this tweet, if they believe that this is repentance, then what does that do to them when they blow it, when they need to be repenting? Do they do the same thing and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as someone else? So instead of using the banner, lift high the banner is Jesus. That's the standard. Instead of lifting high the banner and trying to attain that level of holiness, now we're lowering the banner to a tweet.
Yes.
And then it's canonized by preachers. So then people are getting confused because now the method of apology and repentance
doesn't even exist.
It's been minimized. It's been
minimized down to a if I offended you, if.
We have a problem. This is shining the light. This whole election, and maybe this is why it needed to happen. What this election is doing is it is exposing the theological flaws in America's church. It is exposing that the church is found wanting when they measure themselves against the standard of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a sad state right now. And the Bible tells us, Peter told us, judgment begins in the house of God first. We are seeing the exposure that the leadership of the church today does not understand repentance.
They don't even apparently find it necessary.
In June or July over the summer,
mm-hmm.
It was a few months ago, 1,000 evangelical leaders were given tickets to go to the...
private meeting where we couldn't hear what was said.
And out of those 1,000, a committee was formed of mm-hmm. a council of evangelical preachers advisors.
Advisors.
Now, please think about that. These aren't people that just got out of Bible college.
These
are
mature ministers.
Paul White's one of them, I believe. Rodney Howard Brown is one of them. Mm-hmm. So out of all these ministers who are supposed to be advising him, none of them were able to advise Donald and tell him, hey, Donald, this Twitter that you send out, Mr. Trump, however they address him, where is that person with the boldness, Donald, to go to knock on his door and to say, Mr. Trump, you placed me on your advisory committee.
I'm going to advise you right now.
Let me advise you right now. You are not going to win the election without the evangelicals. You will not.
And the women.
And you're not going to win without the women. So may I advise you on how to win this election? If you want to win the election, let me tell you how to win it. Mm-hmm. Okay, how do I win it? You need to show the evangelicals that you understand accountability. You understand apology. You understand contriteness. Be the leader they're looking for. Be that guy of character. Be the president of integrity. Be the person they can look up to. Be the person that they can proudly go into that booth and pull the lever with pride, with confidence, with assurance that you're going to be the guy that's going to do the job for them. Listen to what I'm telling you, because if you don't listen to me, you're not going to win this election. Donna, where was that guy?
He didn't do that. Nobody did that.
Ladies and gentlemen, where was that man? Where is that Billy Graham that would have shown up and said, the people are looking for a leader, so be that man? Yes, it was 11 years ago, but show and prove to them that
you're different, that you have changed. And I can point to the moment in the debate when I realized that he was not a born-again Christian and said, Mr. Trump, this is not verbatim, he said, we realize you said that thing 11 years ago. Can you point to a time when you changed and you no longer were that man? That audience member was saying, tell us when you found Jesus. That's what he was saying, but he was being politically correct about it. Trump did not even understand the question.
Okay, let me just play that right now, Donna. Listen to this.
Jeff from Ohio asks on Facebook, Trump says the campaign has changed him. When did that happen? So, Mr. Trump, let me add to that. When you walked off that bus at age 59, were you a different man, or did that behavior continue until just recently? And you have 2 minutes for this.
As I told you, that was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I am a person who has great respect for people, for my family, for the people of this country, and certainly I'm not proud of it. But that was something that happened. If you look at Bill Clinton, far worse, minor words, and his was action. His was what he's done to women. There's never been anybody in the history of politics in this nation that's been so abusive to women. So don't tell me about words. I apologize for those words. But it is things that people say.
He sidestepped it. He deviated. And he misdirected. He
went in a total different direction.
So don't tell me about words.
If you were a born-again Christian, you would say, you know, that was how I thought when I was in the world, but I'm not in the world anymore. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I don't think that way. He did not say that.
After that tweet came out, a few hours, actually the whole day went by, and then it was
9 o'clock at night on October 7th.
So it was about 11 hours later. Donald Trump then did a video, and he reformatted his apology. A few hours went by, and then this is what we heard.
I've never said I'm a perfect person, nor pretended to be someone that I'm not. I've said and done things I regret, and the words released today on this more than a decade-old video are one of them. Anyone who knows me knows these words don't reflect who I am. I said it, I was wrong, and I apologize. I've traveled the country talking about change for America. But my travels have also changed me. I've spent time with grieving mothers who've lost their children, laid off workers whose jobs have gone to other countries, and people from all walks of life who just want a better future. I have gotten to know the great people of our country, and I've been humbled by the faith they placed in me. I pledge to be a better man tomorrow and will never, ever let you down. Let's be honest. We're living in the real world. This is nothing more than a distraction from the important issues we're facing today. We're losing our jobs. We're less safe than we were 8 years ago. and Washington is totally broken. Hillary Clinton and her kind have run our country into the ground. I've said some foolish things, but there's a big difference between the words and actions of other people. Bill Clinton has actually abused women, and Hillary has bullied, attacked, shamed, and intimidated his victims. We will discuss this more in the coming days. See you at the debate on Sunday.
Do you think Melania has the self-confidence to speak as a wife that's upset, or is she a spouse that is afraid, well, he's a powerful man, he's about to be the president, so I don't want to upset him? Did he tell her, if you keep your mouth shut, I'll ship you back to Europe where I found you? We don't know.
It could go either way, because if Melania stepped out and left him, it would destroy him right now. So that could really go either way.
Well, when I saw Melania at the debate,
she didn't look very happy.
She looked mad. Does it go through her mind? Is she thinking, wow, I'm on my way out? Who's number four? We just heard another attempt several hours later. What do you think, Donna?
Well, it was written better, but it was 5 seconds of apology and the rest of it was deflection.
So he started saying, I did it. It was wrong. By the way, it was a long time ago. Can you imagine the husband showing up to the wife at their 30-year anniversary and there's a guy or a girl who's a college age, 20, and the wife says, who's this? Well, something I got to tell you. What? I have a love child.
But you don't know. Worry, it was 20 years ago. Don't judge me.
He used deflection. He used it. It was seasoned. And then he did the same thing again. I'm not as bad as Bill Clinton and Hillary.
Mm-hmm. That's what the memes all over Facebook are saying.
Well, Hillary's worse.
Bill is worse.
And we have the pastors saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so once again, I have to ask this question, ladies and gentlemen. Where is one of the brave ones in the advisory committee? Did any of the advisory committee think that they had the opportunity or the privilege to make a phone call to Trump headquarters and say, I'm on your committee, I need to talk to Mr. Trump? Did any of them try that? If they did try it, now watch this, Donna. If any of them did try it and they said, Mr. Trump, I have some good advice. I have a way for you to get out of this mess if you listen to me. And if Trump heard the opportunity and then chose not to, then that reveals he's unteachable. Now, this statement that we just saw right here, was that written by one of the pastors? Another question. If it was, that is the most pathetic apology I think ever written. And then for Christians to use that as the line, that's the new bar. So, Donna, I'm wondering about all these things. Did one of the advisors try to give advice, but he's unteachable? If that's the case, shame on Donald Trump. But if they didn't, what are they doing? What's their purpose?
There's no purpose. If they aren't standing up and telling him how to repent in a situation like this, there is no purpose for their very existence as a committee.
But, Nathan, what if they didn't feel like they had the ability to or the privilege to? They didn't feel it was their place to do it.
If it's not their place, then there's no point in there being a committee.
Where are the representatives of the committee?
You know, I would really like to address this from a woman who has been abused from that point of view. Women in this country are abused from the time they are very little until adulthood, even rape and such happens. In our lives, those things happen. We are vulnerable. We are the weaker sex. We are your sisters in Christ. For our Christian brothers to say to us, this is just locker room talk. It's okay to speak that way about women. One, it's not just talk, because he wasn't making it up. He was saying, this is what I do. So a man in a position of power and authority takes advantage of a woman who's insecure and kind of frightened to say no.
Donna, hold your space right there, because I want this to be remembered by the listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, when Donald Trump said it's only locker room banter or talk, when he was confessing on the tape, he said because he's a star, because he's important, and people, when you are in a place of
authority,
celebrity
and power.
And power and authority, you can do whatever you want. Donna, is it molestation? Is it sexual assault to go up to a woman and touch her in her genitals?
Yes.
Without her permission?
Yes.
That's assault.
It would be assault if a woman did it to a man also.
Are we going to get emails and people are going to say, Nathan, it's just talk, or you're using that word assault. That's actually criminal. He didn't do that. You need to tone it down.
He did do it. and it's been on record, and women have sued him for years. It's not just now coming out of the woodwork. He has paid, bought off some women's husbands so that they wouldn't follow through on their suits. So this is not just talk. But this is no different, and I want you men to understand this. This is no different than when a grown man goes into a little girl's bedroom and touches her and she's afraid to say no. It is not one bit different.
And you're speaking from the heart, and you're speaking from, because you know, Donna, in the listening audience, there's a lot of stories out there, probably millions of similar stories.
Feeling angry at yourself for having been silent. You know, it's these 20-year-old women or 25-year-old women that have had this happen to them, it is no less a violation to their free will, to their dignity, to their identity. It's, you feel powerless, and you take that with you forever. Sure. Even if it was only just being touched, it's still taken from you.
I'm trying to control my passion because of the absurd lack of empathy and sympathy by these preachers, by these leaders, by these men, by these people in authority who are downplaying what he did. Because for a preacher to downplay and say, but Hillary did worse, what he is doing, Donna, he is proving and exposing and shining the light. He is not qualified. Pastors are supposed to be the counselors who talk to these women who are molested and or abused. Are abused or are raped or are violated. You know, a pastor is a counselor.
Yes,
Donna.
Yes.
And he's going to help you work through it. So we have these pastors who are now downplaying the violation and the molestation to people and their flock by what Trump did, and they're minimizing this sin that happened.
No,
it was horrible. So the pastors out there, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a pastor that you listen to is downplaying and minimizing what Trump has done, then I would ask you, my listening friend, take it to prayer and reconsider if that person is qualified. If they don't understand the pain of sexual assault, of rape, of molestation, if they do not understand the pain and the significance and the damage that it does, because they're downplaying it and making it a political thing, and they're trying to say that, well, Trump did it, but it doesn't count because Hillary's was worse. If that comes out of their mouth at any point, let me just say, Donna, if someone came to me and said, Nathan, what should I do? My pastor's minimizing. I would say run from that church.
They have no love or respect for their sisters in Jesus.
I would say resign your membership from that church. A ministry represents the righteousness of God. Molestation is a horrible, it is one of the unspoken ones.
Yes.
The unspoken crime. And there are so many hurt, broken people out there who still, maybe they even tried on it and they were minimized. Or or the person they listened to downplayed it or said, are you sure? Or No, I don't believe you because that person's too noble. They're on the board. They're a Sunday school teacher. They're known in the community. They have a reputation. They're dignified. Don't you know who you're talking to? There's no way they did that. I don't believe you. Donna, how often is that thrown into the victim's face?
All the time. All the time it is thrown into their face. And that's basically what they're doing here. Well, he just said it. He didn't actually do it. No, he said he did it. And all that said, if you want to vote for him, vote for him. But quit making excuses for his treatment of women. And it does us as Christians no service to defend this.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is exposing the level of the standard of righteousness in the church right now for everybody. The line is drawn in the courtyard of God. And the plumb line is hanging from heaven. And we can look up that plumb line and see the banner held high and seek to attain it. God is going to measure. He's going to take the reed and measure. He's going to measure the hearts of men to see what they hold in high esteem. Do they hold a worldly standard of a man? Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. Woe unto them who sidestep evil. Woe unto them who look at the blackness and say that it is of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious. And for anyone out there who is looking at this mess and tries to justify it, God is looking at every one of our words. He is making note. He is recording. The angel with the writer's inkhorn is marking people right now. Every one of us are either getting marked or we're not. We can look in the book of Ezekiel. God sent the six angels, and one of them had the writer's inkhorn, and his job was to go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, walk up the sidewalks of every house, go through the door, and look and seek after those who sighed and cried for the sins of the land. Sighing and crying, folks. And then after that, what were the instructions, Donna? Follow after him, the man with the destroying weapon, with the battle axe, with the sword. And they were instructed to smite down those who were not marked, those who did not sign cry. And those people, those who claim to be the righteous ones of God, those who claim to be the leaders of God, the watchmen of God, part of the remnant of God, who have gone into Facebook and sidestepped this issue and minimized molestation and minimized sexual assault and sin.
They would have been better off not saying anything.
They're not grieving for the victims out there. This is the woeful truth and situation of what we're looking at right now, ladies and gentlemen. God is using this to shine his lamp. You're taking notes, ladies and gentlemen? Write this down. There is a snapshot in the Old Testament of the day of the Lord, the coming judgment, when God punishes the entire world for its evil. And we have the warning here in Zephaniah chapter 1. God speaks, and he says what he's going to do. He says, I'm going to consume everything, everybody, from the face of the earth, the face of the land. I'm going to consume man and beast, birds of heaven, fish of the sea. I'm going to cut off man and those who were the stumbling blocks. The ones that were stumbling blocks, I'm also going to destroy. What did Jesus say? It would be better for a person to have a millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the sea than to cause one of my little ones to stumble.
Yes.
Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 3. The stumbling blocks will be destroyed. The pastors out there who are promoting and voicing their nonsense because of they're politicizing this thing, they are stumbling blocks to God's people.
Yes.
And God says, I am going to destroy them. He goes on, I will stretch out my hand against Judah. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. The idolatrous priests with the pagan priests. Folks, read Zephaniah chapter 1, but I want to focus on verse 12. Now, I just mentioned that we can find in the book of Ezekiel, those who sigh and cry will be marked and protected. By the way, that's our homework, Donna.
Yes.
Listening audience, remnant of God, those who care for their souls, sighing and crying is the way that you're going to survive. People write and they say, Nathan, what do I do? You need to sigh and cry in your prayer closet. That's what you need to be doing right now. Because World War III is coming. Russia's getting ready.
Yeah.
They're sharpening their swords. They're getting ready. So who is going to survive this thing? How is the remnant to be protected? How do we make sure, how do we ensure that we are in the good side of God's graces? How do we make sure that our house, our dwelling place, the four corners of our property, north, south, east, and west, have an angel of the Lord protecting us? How do you make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that there's an angel on your driveway so that when the pestilence comes forth by night, when the destroyer comes, walks up your street, how do you make sure that you have an angel in your driveway saying, you can keep going, you can keep walking, just keep going, you're not coming up this driveway? How do you make sure that you have a representative from the host of heaven in your driveway, standing in front of the mantle of your front door, at your bedside, standing beside the bed if you're a sleeping child? How do you ensure that, ladies and gentlemen? The book of Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 12. It shall come to pass at that time. Now, folks, listen to this. It shall come to pass. This is the prophecy that's going to happen. That I will search Jerusalem with lamps. Jerusalem represents the people of God. I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency. We just spoke about those who do not sigh and cry, do not get marked.
Mm-hmm.
So the angel with the destroying weapon will walk up their driveway and will open their door and walk through the threshold and attend to business. We have a second witness right here, Zephaniah 1:12. Why is he using lamps?
Because it's dark.
I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency. It's coming, folks. Your job as a remnant believer is to sigh and cry and to not be complacent. It's time to repent. So with that, Donna, we're going to say goodbye to the listening audience. Ladies and gentlemen, if you appreciate, Donna, I can say this with confidence. I can say this with a pure heart. As God is our witness, we're bringing the message of truth to the people.
Amen.
And ladies, those of you that have not been heard, some of you are hurting. You were a victim yourself, and it's something you buried or put aside. And
we validate that.
We validate it, and if it brought pain back and we ripped the scab off, we didn't mean to do that. But we just want you to know that your voice is heard, and if you need someone to pray for you, you can write us, and we'll pray for you. If you appreciate what we're doing here at Watchman's Cry, we appreciate and we need your support, ladies and gentlemen. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. Now with that, stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time.
God bless.
Bye-bye.